Japan from 1972 through 1974 is under arrest and in detention in Tokyo. I'm Jerry Landy reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kakuei Tanaka is being held on suspicion of violating Japan's currency control law, a technical charge. In fact, he is being held in connection with alleged payoffs by the Lockheed Aviation Corporation to obtain business favors in Japan. Lockheed is known to have spent $12 million there, of which $2 million is believed to have gone into the pockets of politicians and government officials. When Tanaka's arrest became known, prices plunged on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Tanaka was a poor construction worker who became a millionaire as a construction tycoon after the war. Tanaka is the most powerful of 15 politicians and business executives arrested in connection with the Lockheed scandal there. More news after this.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could take a roast out of the freezer, put it in an oven, and have it defrost and cook, and call you when dinner's ready? Well, the revolutionary Amana Touchmatic Radar Range microwave oven can do that and more. That's right. Amana has made the greatest cooking discovery since fire even greater. Because the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range makes microwave cooking simple as 1, 2, 3. Now you can take food from the freezer to the table just by touching a few numbers on the control panel. So when you push start, the computer inside the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range takes over. It remembers and carries out your instructions with split-second accuracy. And when cooking's done, the timer even remembers and displays the correct time of day in lights. To really appreciate what the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range can do for you, you really have to see it in action. Plan now to stop by your Amana retailer this week just to see a demonstration of this fabulous way to cook. It's really something.
Another evacuation of Americans is about to get underway in the ravaged capital of Beirut, Lebanon. Robert Pierpoint reports from the White House.
In about an hour from now, President Ford will begin monitoring that evacuation, ready, aides say, to make a quick decision if anything should go wrong. According to Presidential Press Secretary Ron Nissen, Mr. Ford's constant attention is required because the U.S. 6th Fleet is involved in the operation, which apparently is considered a risky one. Between 400 and 500 people of various nationalities, including 154 American citizens, are to be taken from the port area in Beirut by landing craft for transport to Athens. Standing by at the other end to oversee the evacuation are troops from the Palestine Liberation Organization, which has been cooperating with the embassy in arranging the details. Some 28 employees of the embassy are being evacuated, leaving about 15 U.S. embassy employees still in Beirut. A similar evacuation was carried out on June 20th without incident. President Ford kept a dawn vigil that night to ensure that all went well, as he plans to do tonight. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
Without debate, the Senate has attached an amendment to the Omnibus Tax Revision Bill, which would deprive companies of millions in tax benefits for paying bribes abroad and cooperating with the Arab economic boycott of Israel. Senator Henry Jackson is one of the measure's prime supporters.
Well, I don't care what it costs. Right's right and wrong's wrong. And the American government can't be a party to granting of tax benefits to companies who engage in corporate bribery or engage in the discrimination against Americans because of their religion or national origin.
Congressional experts estimate the provision could cost offending firms $100 million in added taxes next year. The amendment now faces House consideration. President Fidel Castro of Cuba declared Monday night that thousands of Cuban troops in Angola are there to stay for the indefinite future. Castro spoke on the 23rd anniversary of his revolution, and President Agostinho Neto was at his side. Castro had previously indicated he had ordered a gradual withdrawal from Angola. Monday, Castro said they will remain until Angola has trained a defense force capable of repelling foreign attack. A personal bodyguard has apparently prevented the assassination of a former Turkish premier in New York. Bülent Ecevit was to give a speech to a group of Turkish Americans at a New York hotel. Pro-Greek demonstrators gave him an unruly reception outside. Inside, Ecevit's bodyguard spotted a man pulling a gun, wrestled him to the ground. He's under custody. Now this.
Hey, students of Ulysses S. Grant High School.
Here we are!
I suppose you got something to say to America.
Yes!
Yeah? Well, go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say hello to America. Hello, America.
I have so much to tell you, America.
You know, I love this place. It's a democracy, and, you know, bad things are happening, but...
We'll have to make our government democratic instead of calling it democratic.
Why is there so many problems that we have to ask these questions?
Because we don't seem to get along very well with each other.
If everybody in the United States could talk into this microphone like I'm doing right now and say what they really feel, a lot of things would come out.
One thing, we have a terrible set of values, and we have to change them, and as soon as we do, we'll all be able to start loving and caring, and then we won't have to worry because we'll already love each other. Well, things are going to get better.
You guys got anything else to say?
Yeah! God bless America! Please!
From the Franciscans, with love.
California estimates nearly $17 million in newly harvested fruits and vegetables has been spoiled because of the week-long cannery worker strike. Pressure is said to be growing on the president to intervene. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
A report from the Olympics in Montreal, the Indiana wrecking crew of Scott May and Quinn Buckner combined for 34 points to lead the United States to a 95-77 victory over Canada, and also into the finals of the basketball competition. The Americans, who were stunned in the title game of the 1972 Munich tourney by the Russians, meet Yugoslavia for the title tomorrow night. Yugoslavia, losers to the Americans earlier this month, upset Russia 89-84 in a semifinal match earlier today. Stay tuned for CBS Radio Mystery Theater next. Temperature downtown at 62 degrees. It's 60 at SeaTac Airport. Now here's E.G. Marshall, your host.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. I have a special treat for you. An unforgettable voyage to the islands of Kalea. Where are they? No, don't look for them on any ordinary map. They exist only in the gyrus hippocampi. And that is located... Well, that's what this story is all about.
Werner, is he alive?
The body... That is dross. We will burn it as we do the animals in the crematorium. The brain, that is something else. And it is doing well. Now the fight is first to keep it alive.
And second?
Each thing in its own time. Isn't it enough that, for the moment, we have created a miracle?
Mystery drama, The Brain Without Mercy, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
Free spirits all over the country are getting into Buicks, but here's a little extra incentive. If you buy a new 1976 Buick Skyhawk now, we'll give you either an automatic transmission or a 5-speed manual transmission at no extra charge, as long as supplies last. At manufacturer's suggested retail prices, that can mean a husky $244 savings, which can buy a lot of groceries, Charlie. Well, maybe not a lot of groceries.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us.
Recently, recently, I came across a little-known organization that is really reaching out to help thousands of children and adults afflicted with serious visual impairments, such as glaucoma and macular degeneration, causing great physical and emotional difficulties. And with all the commercialism in the world today, I was struck by their sincerity and their humanity. I know that I don't do as much as I could or should for worthy causes, and so I offered to say a few words in their behalf. This is Arlene Francis speaking for the National Association for the Visually Handicapped. This is nonprofit, founded by Mrs. Lorraine Markey, herself a mother of two visually handicapped children. If you know someone who needs their help with counseling, optical aids, large print books, and educational services, write the NAVH, Box 700, New York, 10016. Funds are badly needed, and they would certainly be very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Across the southwestern portion of Texas, near the border with Mexico, a smallish two-engine Canadian de Havilland is flying about 2,000 feet and slowly descending. It is the last leg in a long and perilous journey for its two pilots and the three passengers who have been held as hostage. A dark-complexioned man with a Thomas machine gun at the ready and strapped into a parachute keeps a close watch on his terrified fellow passengers. In a large suitcase beside him is $2 million in small, unmarked bills. This is the end of a three-day headline story which has kept most of the country on the edge of their seats.
Okay. Bring her down some more and cut back on the throttle. Hey, you, compadres, move up towards the cockpit. Okay. Hold your hats. I'm going to open the door. This is where your friendly hijacker bid you goodbye. Don't make any crazy moves. Just leave that up to me. Hasta la vista!
1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9. Okay. First parachute. 11, 12. Beautiful. 15, 16. 17, a little more to the right, so I hit my spot. 20, and here goes number two. The devil, ring broke right off. Where is that emergency? Carrying too much weight. I ought to jettison something, but not the money, not the dough. Damn, it can't have been all for nothing.
Gently, Willie, gently. We have a precious cargo.
As I may, Doctor, them bumps is on the road.
I realize. Perhaps we should have the headlights on.
It ain't that dark. But you're the boss. Whatever you ask. How's that?
Strange time of day, twilight. Can't even see the lights go on. I'm glad you're driving instead. Willie, what is that on the road?
Appears like some fella passed himself out on the edge of the road. some foreigner, maybe, had too much snake juice.
Don't stop.
Might be he needs help. You're a doc.
Oh, very well. Let's have a look.
Hit. Tree. Crossback. Need help.
Who are you? What do you mean you hit a tree?
Money. Had to hold on to so much money. Whole trouble. $2 million. Make a man crazy.
Doctor, he cashing his chips?
No. He's still alive.
You got the place. You and Mrs. Doctor could maybe keep him alive like the animals.
What?
The way you make it so nobody dies. I mean, dogs, sheep, and all like that.
Willie, get the big blanket out of the pickup. You and I will have to roll it onto this man and take him back to the clinic. You must take it very slowly now, Willie. If that man is to stay alive, we must proceed as smoothly as possible.
Sure, Doctor.
He has suffered injuries I cannot understand. Massive internal dislocation and severe compression of the spine.
Doctor, sir, it's going to rain something awful. We might not make the board.
Not that I do not believe your instincts, Willie, but let's just check on the radio, huh? And remember the word, Willie. Lung time. Slowly and
a low pressure area that forecasts storms and violent rains down through the south and on into Texas, as far south as Mexico. And now, a further update on the man who has been dubbed the Texas Stranger. For 3 days, he has played out his wild drama, starting with a skyjack of a Universal plane bound for New Orleans. Since then, the man has held out for a $2 million payment as he skyhopped around the southern portion of the U.S., a payment which was finally made and delivered as he transferred to a small plane over Texas, still holding three major bank officials as hostage. Now, word has just been received that somewhere over the south of Texas, this daring bandit, tentatively identified as Miguel Riveras, parachuted out of a plane carrying with him $2 million in unmarked bills. It is expected that the bandit hopes to escape to Mexico. But in the meanwhile, every agency, government...
Turn it off, Willie.
Yes, Doctor. But why'd you want to do that? I wanted to hear more about them rains and the weather.
Forget the weather. Drive as fast as you can, Willie. We must get home. Need to, Ilsa. We will have to operate right away.
On our new guest, Werner?
The man we picked up, yes.
Not for the experiments.
Oh, no, no. This is to save his life. He's going into renal failure. Both kidneys are destroyed.
We have no transplants. What shall we operate for?
The greatest opportunity of my life. The body of the man cannot sustain life much longer, but his brain. Ah, that is fully viable. Now, come. I need your help. We have much preparation to make.
Have you reported about this man to the authorities?
No.
But it is the man.
Oh, yes. He has an identification bracelet from a paratroop division.
But you will not report him?
And lose this incredible chance to get the money we need? $2 million to complete my experiments?
But where is the money?
Only he knows.
And he's unconscious.
So I must unlock the secret from his unconscious.
How? If he's in coma and on the point of death.
With luck, I may bring him to consciousness long enough to find out what I need to know. If not...
If not, Werner, what else?
Well, the man is moribund. No way we can keep him alive. But if we arrest the degenerative process, only the kidneys are destroyed, every other vital organ in his body could be preserved by the techniques under which we have been working. Now, most important, and this is the perfect opportunity, the brain.
The brain?
We have maintained the brain of a rat, a rabbit, and more successfully cats and dogs. Why not a man's?
But the man is still alive.
The man is due to die from other causes. And besides that, he is a criminal.
We are not the judge of that.
So we are not the judge. No, Ilse, we are only the fortunate recipients of a golden chance.
But, Werner, how can you risk it? There are enough questions about your clinic already.
There have been no questions about this. This man planned to disappear. I am only making sure that he will. Now, get dressed so we can scrub up. Ilse, you and I are about to perform the most important operation in our lives. Perfusion machine will serve to replace his kidneys long enough for our purpose.
The man could be kept alive, perhaps indefinitely, until a kidney donor...
Ah, Schliebchen, it is not worth the gamble. Not when we have a better game to play.
Oh, you know what you contemplate is murder.
Technicality, not even valid. For Miguel, that is his name, we must think of him as that. Miguel will still be alive outside his body.
Alive?
Yes. More and more, Ilsa, the definition of death is being accepted as the moment when the brain ceases to function. Miguel's brain is not going to cease to function. No, is it, Miguel? You and I, we are going to make history, no?
Werner, what are you going to do?
Well, first of all, we are going to dispose of the last remnant of man's best friend. We are going to take away the life supply of blood from the dog's brain so that we may have it available for Miguel.
Oh, Werner, I'm afraid. Do you know what you're doing?
Absolutely. I cannot save Miguel's life under the ordinary definition, but I believe I can save his brain, and I need all of your help.
Have I ever denied it to you?
No, Ilsa, no. But do not fail me now. All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
Scalpel. So, retractors. Good. Drill. Now, how is the blood pressure?
Steady. 160 over 80.
Uh-huh. Better than I have any right to hope. Now, I need your hands to help put the pressure on audio so we can hear. That's it. We must move as fast as possible. Wipe. Oh,
there, Liebling.
Yes. I must expose the whole brain so we can move freely.
His heart stopped.
It doesn't matter. I can switch to the heart pump now. Turn it on. Now, give me the spinal cord. Ah, yeah, good. Now, steady, easy. We place it in the bath with the brain itself. Ah, Miguel, alive, swimming again in the primeval slime from which man came. Ilse, you can cut off all supportive measures except the blood reservoir and the oxygen.
Is he alive?
The body? That is dross. We will burn it as we do the animal's remains in the crematorium. The brain? Ah, that is something else. And doing very well. Now, the fight is first to keep it alive.
And second?
Each thing in its own time. Isn't it enough that for the moment we have created a miracle?
You got the food ready for the Doc and Mrs. Doc, woman?
Yeah, really. But how long have I got to make up trays and such instead of plain sit-down meals?
I don't know.
My poor old Willie, you never know much and understand less. But what are them two doing in that old laboratory?
Oh, something mighty important.
Something with that man you drug in like he was another animal for the Doc to mess around with?
Now, Lucy, you hush up. The Doc, he knows better than the whole world what he's doing. Ain't nobody else like him.
But I ain't all so sure as you. It's all good.
You happen to talk like that way. He's the nearest thing to a preacher and more close to God than anyone I ever knew.
Well, most times I get the feeling that what he's doing is flying in the face of God.
That's it, Miguel. That is it. Oh, you are a good patient.
Werner.
Yes, Ilse.
Must we watch over it day and night?
Oh, not it, Liebchen. Him. Miguel is alive and well. As long as the brain lives, the man lives.
For what reason? It is only an island of cells, floating in a protective bath like the placenta in a womb. But it cannot grow, it cannot communicate. It is only a medical trick.
Oh, not this time, Ilse, not this time. It cannot grow, perhaps, but it can remember. And if you give me time, it will communicate. With $2 million at stake, trust me, I will find a way to make it communicate, to make Miguel release his secret.
Dr. Werner Dietart, a madman or a genius? Can he really keep alive a mass of gray cells divorced from the human body, fed by machines which simulate the function of the heart? And even if he can accomplish that miracle, how can he communicate with this pulsing pearl-gray organ, which floats like some tropical jellyfish in its nourishing private sea? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Bush, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Did you know that there are just about 21 million Americans over 16 who can't read? Not even a want ad or a job application. And another generation right behind them. Kids in the inner cities, on reservations, and in Appalachia who may never learn to read. This is Michael Learned for RIF. Reading is fundamental. It's a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects all over the country that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. RIF's goal in this bicentennial year is to get 25 million books into the hands of 5 million children, books they can choose for themselves and keep for their own. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Send a tax-deductible check or money order to RIF. It's tough to ask for money, and RIF knows it's tough to give it. But think how much tougher life would be if you couldn't read. Please, send your donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
Miguel Rivera's brain is all that is left of the man who once bore that name. The recognizable part of him, the body, is long since reduced to white ash in Dr. Dietart's private ovens, an ash now scattered to the four winds. But in another world, the more recognizable everyday one you and I inhabit, a vast network of law enforcement officials is painstakingly trying to locate Miguel and the $2 million he escaped with when he parachuted out of the plane.
Governor, we got every foot of territory he could possibly have landed on or moved to since covered. But like I say, Governor, that's wild country. And a man could hole up snug as a prairie dog or be long gone into Mexico by now, particularly since he was Spanish-speaking. Oh, no, sir, don't you worry. We're staying right on top of it.
Sheriff, you got anything new?
No, Bill. Not since identification. Miguel Rivera, ex-paratrooper, U.S. Army, Vietnam veteran. No previous arrests or convictions. Just a plain guy who blew his stack and made a grab for the brass ring.
Say, you don't mind if I hang around? I mean, this is a big news break for me and my station.
We need all the help we can get. And you news broadcasters are not to leave.
Say, you figure he had Confederates waiting for him after the jump?
No. No, just strictly on my own hunch, I figure him for a loner.
Say, there's another thing, Sheriff, that the co-pilot mentioned.
What's that?
Well, with that submachine gun and that suitcase loaded, he was carrying a pretty heavy load for jumping.
You suggesting there was any chance he might have hurt himself landing?
Well, I don't
with
know.
With two parachutes and him a paratrooper?
Like I say, it was just a thought.
Well, don't think it ain't occurred to me. That's why our helicopter's been flying so low. That reminds me. I gotta put another call into that foreign doctor fella up Dreadville way. Just like to check him. Though it don't make no sense for Rivera's backtracking that way. Well, just in case he's seen or heard anything.
Well, my best guess is that he had some horses staked out. Or maybe even a jeep, so he could get away across the border.
Well, by this time, my guess is
He's sheer out of this world, far as we're concerned.
I really wish I could help you out, Sheriff. Riveras, you said his name was?
That's right.
And he stole $2 million?
Doctor, don't you listen to the radio or the TV?
Oh, yes, of course. I have heard the story, but it is so unbelievable.
Well, no matter the way it sounds, you can believe it. If he escapes, he's got $2 million clear profit because there's no way those bills can be traced.
It is really incredible. Tell me, do you have any hope of finding him?
Well, he can't just have vanished into thin air.
Werner, what did the police say?
They can't trace Miguel. But the money...
They found it?
No, not yet. It means we have little time. We can't search for it with the police everywhere. We must find out from Miguel where he hid it.
Miguel?
His brain is still alive. It is only left for me to find a way to discover what his brain knows.
Willie?
Yes, Lucy?
Where are you going?
I gotta go help the doctor and Mrs. Doctor.
Now? This time of night? Help him do what?
I don't know. Magic kind of things.
Tell me, what are they doing in that laboratory or whatever you call it?
I don't know, but the doctor needs me. I gotta go.
Oh, Willie, I'm scared. You know what I think?
No. Why, Lucy?
I think you and me ought to cut and run while the going's good.
Now, don't lay any trouble on me, woman. I can't leave. The doctor, he needs me. And Mrs. Doctor.
And what about me?
Well, the doctor and the Mrs. Doctor is my job. They need me first.
Oh, Willie, boy. Honey, don't you know they'd be the first to shuck you off the moment they didn't need you, and I'd be the last?
You hadn't ought to think anything mean about them, Lucy. Willie just knows his place is all. You gotta know it, too.
Willie, I just know only one thing. You're my man, and I love you. And I won't ever let anybody harm you.
Now, you understand what we must do, Ilsa. The first thing is to make the brain hear.
But why? We have the electronic larynx, which we've used with sheep and dogs. All Miguel's brain must do is speak.
Well, how can it answer? How can Miguel answer if he does not hear the words?
The animals answered.
Because we induced a small measure of pain. Then they would react vocally with a bleat or with a squeak, a bark. Then it was a simplistic process, a reflex action. Now, we must establish a very complex one. So, you take this microphone, and when I tell you, you will speak.
Oh, and what is the box you have on the table?
This is an interfacing device which will multiply the signal into speech patterns.
Well, shall I try it now?
No. First, we make adjustments. You can watch on the oscilloscope and see the voice grams as we hear them. All right, now. Speak softly. Say the name. Miguel. Miguel. Slowly over and over again while I adjust the sensitivity.
But how do you transmit it to the brain?
The same way as we do with the larynx for the return operation. Now, I must implant these electrodes in the auditory cortex. So, Ilsa, you speak, but softly, softly.
Miguel. Miguel. Miguel.
So, I have them planted.
Well, how can we tell if Miguel can hear? There is no reaction.
Of course not. The brain has no muscle. It can only reply to one electrical impulse by a responding one.
And you'll attach the electrical larynx now.
Yes. Since we know that Broca's area is specifically the seat of articulate speech there, and I have had practice with animals, I can be more sure of this operation. The other is hit or miss. It may take time and patience to set those electrodes accurately. Now, let me have the microphone, please.
Yes, here, Werner.
Miguel. Miguel? Can you hear me?
Nothing. does not work.
I must adjust the auditory circuit. It is very delicate. It may take a long time. A very long time.
Hi, Sheriff. You got anything new on Rivera's?
Not a glimmer.
What do you suppose he did with the parachute?
Buried him, I reckon. Well, by now, we got men on foot going over every inch of that territory. You ought to pick up some trail.
The only trouble was that rainstorm.
Yeah, probably washed out any sign of that skyjacker. I can't sit here any longer at a desk. I'm getting out in the field. The man can't just have disappeared into thin air.
Miguel.
Hey, what's going on in there, Willie?
Miguel, can you hear me?
Doctor's trying to talk to that man we found side of the road.
But the man died, Willie. You and me burned him in the oven and scattered his ashes.
Not all of them.
What do you mean?
He kept out one part of them.
What part?
His brain. Prettiest thing. All shiny and white gray like.
Willie.
What?
You trying to tell me that brain in behind that door is alive?
That's what it is. He's been keeping it alive, too, with that old two-cycle pump I helped him build.
But if the brain is alive, that means the man was alive when he took it from him.
I reckon. What's the difference?
Well, I'll tell you what's the difference. That means that man was murdered. And if the police ever find out, we could stand to be put in jail for burning up and hiding what was left of him.
Miguel, can you hear me, Miguel?
It's no good, Werner. It won't work.
No, patience, Ilsa, patience. We just try a new placement for the electrodes. Now, Miguel.
Yes. I hear you.
Werner.
Here, take the microphone, Ilsa. Speak to him while I modulate. I must get it into exact phase.
Now?
Yes, now.
Miguel.
Keep on, yes. Don't stop.
Miguel. Yes. Miguel, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Miguel?
Ask him again, Ilsa. I've almost got the setting.
Miguel, I'm talking to you. If you hear, reply.
Yes. Yes, I hear.
Give me the microphone. Miguel, you understand me?
Where am I? Who are you? What happened to me?
Now, Miguel, we must take this very easy, step by step. First, I am a doctor.
A doctor? What is this place? A hospital?
My private hospital, yes.
But where am I?
I told you, in my hospital.
I don't mean that. I mean, where am I? Me, Miguel Rivers. Where is my body? I can't see. What happened to me?
Now, Miguel, you must not be excited. What happened to you is, it will take quite a bit of explaining.
Quite a bit of explaining, I should think. What does one say exactly to a man who is no longer a man, but only a brain, which is being kept functioning by sheerly artificial means? And for that, I'm afraid we shall have to wait until I return shortly with Act 3.
My hand is a little capsule. It's tiny, yet it contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Every known virus. It's Contact. The same 12-hour Contact you can buy. This year, Contact with its tiny time pills will touch more lives, help more colds than any other cold medicine, tablet or liquid. Think about that next time you're sick, sneezing, dripping, or clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world. for good reason. All day, all night. Take only as directed.
Clanking, hissing steam engines bring back the year 1876. We visit a part of America as it was 10,000 years ago. And a new air and space museum opens its doors. These are highlights of the Smithsonian Institution's bicentennial celebration. In Washington, the National Mall has come to life with special exhibitions and programs at all Smithsonian museums. You can see the story of the American people in an exhibition called A Nation of Nations. See the works of immigrant artists at the Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden. And rub elbows with native performers and craftsmen from the U.S. and 30 foreign countries at the Festival of American Folklife. We call it the American Experience. It's all here at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington.
It has been a long, careful, and repetitive task for Dr. Werner Dietar to explain the circumstances which have brought Miguel Riveras back to life. If we may give a name to a brain without a body. So far, Miguel has contributed little to the conversation, or should we say, the last vestige of Miguel that is still extant. It is hard even to estimate just how much he has comprehended until, for the first time, he speaks at length.
Padre nostro, che sta in los cielos.
What is he saying?
He is praying.
What is to become of him?
He can die if he wants. After.
After what?
After I get the money, huh? Miguel. Miguel.
What is it?
Do you feel... I mean, are you ready to tell us your story?
Why did you do this to me?
I had no choice. You were so severely damaged internally. Death was inevitable. The brain was all I could rescue.
Why didn't you just let me die?
In these modern times, it is a doctor's duty to do everything he can to maintain life.
Did you call the police?
Well, actually, no.
Why not?
Because they could not help you, and you could help me in a way that they would not have allowed.
By becoming one of your guinea pigs.
A most valuable one. A real guinea pig in the sense that the guinea is a golden coin.
What are you after, man?
When you jumped from that plane, you had with you $2 million, no?
But yes. In small bills, not over 20.
But when Willie and I found you, there was no money.
Who is Willie?
My hired man, a general handyman. A little slow in the brain, but a magnificent physical specimen and very useful to me.
Okay, I didn't ask for his life history.
I don't intend to give it to you. I am much too interested in that money. Now, where is it, Miguel?
No. No money.
What?
I'm in no deal. Where it is, that is my secret.
But I think you will tell me. I am sure you will.
What makes you so sure?
Oh, my dear Miguel, if we cannot agree, I have only to, how shall we say, pull the plug and you cease to be.
Werner, you couldn't.
Oh, you won't get it out of me by threats, Doc. Well, me, you might as well pull the plug. What have I got to live for anyway?
Miguel, we can share.
What for? What could a human jellyfish floating in a bath of salt water use it for? Oh, wait a minute. I just thought of something. How about a deal?
A deal?
Yeah. If you are so clever that you could take my brain out of my body and keep it living, Why can't you put it back in some other body? I mean, like one that is okay and keep both bad eyes.
You mean create a real Frankenstein monster?
No, monster. Just a guy like I was.
Very well. It was merely a figure of speech, so to say. But where am I going to... Ah, yes, of course.
Werner, please. What are you thinking?
Willie. Why not? As a person, he is only half complete anyway. His brain is retarded. I would be doing both of them a favor.
Werner, you must be mad.
Don't say that word to me. And if I could accomplish this miracle, Miguel, what would your deal be?
Oh, anything you want, Doc. You just give me enough money to get across the border and get lost. And you can have anything you want.
Very well. Where is the money?
Oh, no. First, you make your monster, Doctor. Then comes the money.
But how can I trust you?
Me? The cards are all stacked against me. When I come out of this operation, I will be weak as a kitten. Only then I will want to live. You think I won't come clean then?
And supposing you do not come through?
I might as well be dead anyways. That is the chance you've got to take.
No. No, not good enough. I give you a better, what you say, deal. I will prepare Willie for the operation. You will be beside the table. And at the moment I prepare him to receive your brain, then you tell me where the money is.
Okay, Doc. You win. Then I will take on.
I beg you, please, Werner, don't do this.
Ilta, do not be a fool. I must. We are out of money. This is a godsend.
It is not a license for you to try to play God. This operation is impossible, even if we had the facilities and the resources, which we don't.
You are even more of a fool than I thought you. You don't suppose I'm going to attempt the operation? I know it can't be done. The important thing is to convince Miguel, that captive brain, that it can.
But it... He will not tell you till you have taken away Willie's brain.
So?
But that will kill him.
Willie is nothing. He is dispensable.
But that's murder.
In the name of science, Ilse. And to save our own necks.
Oh, Doctor, I'm just not going to let you do it. I'm just not going to.
My dear woman, you should be thanking me. I'm going to make that man of yours a whole man.
Well, even if it would work, I wouldn't thank you for that.
Why?
Oh, look at me, Doctor. I ain't much. No education, and at the most, you couldn't call me nothing but just a plain woman. I look in a glass, I know I'm a downright ugly one. But with Willie as he is, it's good enough. I can make him happy.
This is beginning to irritate me, Lucy.
Look, if there's no other way, I'll go to the police.
Do you think for a moment I would... Lucy, where did you get that gun?
It's Willie's, but I know how to use it if I have to.
No, isn't this silly, Lucy? You know my regard for Willie. Would I do anything to harm him in any way?
No, don't move! Oh, no!
Foolish, ugly little woman. I did not mean your death. But I have practiced survival too long to let anything stop me now. Is Willie anesthetized?
Yes. What kept you?
I was just scrubbing up.
I couldn't leave Willie, but I thought I heard...
What?
Like, far away, a gunshot.
A gunshot? Who has a gun? Ah, oh, yes, some supplies came from town. Lucy is attending to them, and that old truck of Seth's backfired when he was leaving. Now, so, are we ready?
The patient is, but I am not.
Oh, Ilse, trust me. We have been through so much together, and this is our last chance.
What can I do? You're all I have left. Not even myself.
So, we commence... Scalpel.
Yes. Oh, yes, madam. Now, if you could just wait a minute and let me double check.
I'll come.
No, don't hang up. Just let me get this straight. Hey, hello? Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
What you got, Bill?
Oh, Chef, I hope to tell you the craziest darn part of nonsense you ever heard.
About what?
The Riveras case.
Well, anything you picked up on that, I want to hear. I don't give a hoot how plain damn foolish it is.
So, we make the cut.
No respiration.
Of course. Willie's body is now moribund.
Werner, this is wrong. So wrong.
It is all that is right for me anymore. So, Miguel, here is the moment of truth.
You mean my new body is ready?
Ready and waiting. The brain already removed. We have only seconds. The money.
See. The funeral of the Mesa of the Loving Sisters.
Yes.
Below over there is a canyon with the river of Los Muertos.
Yes.
Rising to the mesa, there are three buttes. The one to the south, there, at the base, by the river, there is a cave where the trail ends. In that is the money. So, I have lived up to my part of the deed. Now you...
Oh, Miguel, trust me.
Where are you going, Werner?
I have turned off his hearing to check out the money. You keep him alive till I come back.
And Willie?
Willie was feeble-minded enough to risk his neck. Too bad it was chopped off.
Doctor, Mrs. Dickhart, somebody.
Yes, Miguel. What?
Is the operation over?
Miguel, how can I tell you? There was no operation. Willie is dead. The doctor has only been cheating you.
And where is he now?
I'm beginning to realize. Cheating me, too. He's long gone. With all the money.
Oh, no, there is no money.
What do you mean?
Oh, you see, I thought I was got two perfect eyes, two parachutes to cover all the extra weight of my guns and the money. But one of them failed. I was coming down too fast. I had lost control of the landing I was heading for. I had overshot the desert, and I was in among the hills to try to save my life. At the last moment, 1,000 feet up, I let go of the bag with the money, and somehow it opened, and the bills went raining down like snowflakes into the narrow gorge, into the river, to be swept away God knows where. Oh, no. There is no money, just as there is no Miguel.
Then why has my husband not come back?
Because I hope the police found him there. If they had found my parachute, they would have been waiting. Caramba, is it not wonderful? They could never have gotten him for my murder. But they will for poor Willie, or whatever his name is.
And his poor wife. I will go and let them in.
Bill, tell the boys to bring in the doctor. Okay, Mrs. Dietheart. Where's the other corpse?
Oh, in the laboratory there.
Yeah, there's the handyman. On the table. Oh. Lord, what kind of butcher? Oh, Bill, turn that damn radio off, will you? Just pull the plug. Place gives me the creeps. Oh, look at this, Bill.
What is it, Sheriff?
What must be? Must be the brain the poor murdered woman was babbling about on the phone.
That thing is a brain?
I reckon.
Don't look much alive by now.
It won't be. Not since you pulled out the plug.
Well, what do you mean?
When you pulled the plug, you stopped all the supportive measures which kept it alive.
You mean I killed it?
Exactly. Oh, come, young man. Don't look so distressed. You have me safely guilty of two deliberate and merciless murders. How lucky you are. You committed a sheerly accidental and merciful one.
Dr. Werner Dietart and his wife were tried and convicted for the murders of Lucy and Willie Holland. She was sentenced to life imprisonment, he to the death penalty. I shall be back shortly.
What can cause hemorrhoids?
Strenuous activity, pregnancy, constipation, change in diet.
Oh, well, are pain and itching symptoms?
Sometimes. If you suffer occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues, use Preparation H to relieve discomfort for hours in many cases. And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
You know, I'll try it.
Use only as directed. Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories, relieves pain and itch, helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues.
Now give me that torch.
There goes. Well, teacher.
In 1860, Myrtilla Minor, a white woman, started a school for black children in Rhode Island. Miss Minor did everything to keep her school open till it was burned down. Supporting black education once meant putting your life on the line. Fortunately, today, we just need your signature. Please write a check to the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
In the beginning, I promised you an unforgettable voyage to the islands of Kalea. Did you think I'd forgotten? Oh, no. You have just made that voyage. For this cluster of small islands exist only in the cortex of the brain. Our cast included Norman Rose, Bryna Rayburn, Leon Janney, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
The effect only lasts for an hour or so, but we can't be sure of it until we try it on a human. On the rats in the lab, it lasted 1 hour. Then, gradually, they reappeared. No worse for the experience.
Then it's not dangerous?
Not to the animals, but we've got to try it on a human to really find out, to get the subjective reactions. I mean, will I see myself, or will I look down and see nothing but space? How will I move? My body will still be there. I won't be able to walk through things like a ghost, or will I? These are the questions we have to answer with a human subject.
You.
Me.
You'll come out of it all right.
We hope and expect so. The effect has to wear off.
And if it doesn't?
You'll never see me again.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Temperature in downtown Seattle, cool 58 degrees, barometer at 30.14, and rising, it's 60 at SeaTac Airport. And there's more news at the top of the hour.
for bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
News. The lights probably will be burning all night at the White House and the Pentagon as President Ford and Navy brass monitor reports of another evacuation of Americans and other foreign nationals from Lebanon. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. As he did during the first U.S. Navy evacuation of civilians from Beirut, President Ford expects to be up all night, staying in touch with developments through the National Security Council's Situation Room at the White House. Press Secretary Ron Nessen said the president's constant attention is required because of the need for a quick decision should anything go wrong during the operation being conducted by the U.S. 6th Fleet. More than 400 civilians are to be taken out, including 154 Americans who signed up for what has been billed in advance as probably the last organized evacuation from Lebanon. Some 28 employees of the U.S. Embassy are being removed, leaving a skeleton staff of about 15. The evacuees will be taken to Athens. The operation is being conducted with the cooperation of the Palestine Liberation Organization. A seaborne evacuation was decided upon when the PLO said the security of an overland route to Damascus could not be guaranteed. CBS News continues following this message.
In my hand is a little capsule. It's tiny, yet it contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Every known virus. It's Contact. The same 12-hour Contact you can buy. This year, Contact with its tiny time pills will touch more lives, help more colds than any other cold medicine, tablet or liquid. Think about that next time you're sick, sneezing, dripping, or clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world for good reason.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your soul to Contact.
It works all day, all night. Take only as directed.
Reagan supporters in the Mississippi GOP delegation huddled Monday night to discuss the surprise announcement by the former California governor that if nominated, he would choose liberal Senator Richard Schweiker of Pennsylvania as his running mate. Some observers said the choice might anger Southern Republicans and swing the delegation to President Ford, but CBS News correspondent Bernard Goldberg reports early indications that the prevailing attitude is that while the choice may not help Reagan, it may not hurt him either. Indications from Pennsylvania's 103-member GOP delegation point to the only switch in allegiance thus far being Schweiker from a Ford to a Reagan delegate. Some Pennsylvania delegates, like David Wade of Harrisburg, who is uncommitted, believe the move could help Reagan.
I'm surprised. I think, however, if Mr. Reagan should receive the nomination, Senator Schweiker would be a valuable addition to the ticket. He's been popular in Pennsylvania, and he's been popular with a number of groups that I think could add additional vote-getting power to the Republican ticket.
But others, like Congressman E.G. Bud Schuster, believe the move will cost Reagan support.
They must have been smoking pot when they made this decision, in my judgment. I think that the net effect in Pennsylvania is going to be a loss of delegates for Governor Reagan. I believe there will be several uncommitteds who shift to President Ford as a result of this.
Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service spokesmen say considerable progress has been made in an effort to achieve agreement between striking California cannery workers and cannery owners, but the bargainers are reported having a tough time working out the total cost of a new contract. A man identified as Stavros Skiotidres, a 40-year-old Greek Cypriot sympathizer, was wrestled to the floor in the lobby of New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel last night after he allegedly pointed a loaded revolver at former Turkish Premier Bülent Ecevit. The incident occurred as Ecevit, a man who ordered the 1974 Turkish invasion of Cyprus, was addressing some 500 Turkish-American students. More after this.
Nobody needs to tell you about the economic problems we're having. But we can offer you the information that may help you understand and possibly do something about them. I'm Ray Brady for Today in Business, heard every Monday through Friday on the CBS Radio Network. In recent broadcasts, I've talked about natural gas prices, the American meat supply, given financial forecasts, and discussed proposals to change the way used cars are sold. Listen to Today in Business weekdays on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Count Basie. The jazz you're listening to is more than music. It's the spirit and the soul of an important art that must be preserved. The New York Jazz Museum is trying to keep this soul alive and beating. But it can't be done without your help. So please send your contribution today to New York Jazz Museum, 44 West 63rd Street, New York, New York, 123. Now help preserve the museum and save the soul. Thank you.
Several major oil companies, including Atlantic Richfield, Gulf, Continental, Union, Ashland, Tenneco, and Marathon, reported sharply higher profits for the spring quarter, following a strong resurgence in demand for gasoline and other petroleum products. The stock market, after a floundering Monday, finished little changed in the second slowest trading session of the year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained just over half a point, closing at 991.51. New York Stock Exchange volume totaled 13,530,000 shares. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.